This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Hello, g'day, and welcome to the 100th episode of Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes, and I'm Tongan Australian. And for the past week, I've been in beautiful Papua New Guinea with the ABC for that Pacific sports show. And I'm stoked that we get to celebrate this milestone for this show here live in Papua New Guinea. And I'm glad I get to do it with my new co-host, Nija Daly's finest, the man, Michael Chow. Thank you so much for being here on Fresh Off the Field. And, of course, being my co-host for that Pacific Sports Show on this tour.
Oh, it's been huge. Gula morning through. And, yeah, thanks for having me, you know. I've never done TV before, so that's kind of crazy. But it's nice to do the comfy radio thing with you, though. That's always nice.
What did you do with your hands? Because one of our bosses, Inga, always gives it to me because I don't know what to do with my hands on TV. And I see you had the same issues.
Man, I think you got to pat down at this point because, like, while we were filming, I was trying to copy what you were doing. And I liken it to you got to
Copy me.
No, but you got to, I call it a preacher man kind of thing. Whenever you're talking, you're like imparting and like throwing your hands out, like, yes, people, good to see you, and things like that, you know, with the emphasis and things. I like that, and I think I may have started copy-pasting some of your moves.
Yeah, please. Man, I don't know. I had the T-Rex arms going there for a little bit, so I had no idea what I was doing. But being here in the motherland, honestly, what a beautiful country PNG is.
This is
my first time here, and I've actually been blown away about how friendly the people are, the landscape, how big it is, and the rugby league footy fields. I can't go past that, which we will talk about, but
yeah.
What's it like to be back home?
Look, firstly, I don't spend this much time in Port Moresby whenever I come back to PNG. I usually in and out, but getting to actually go around and, you know, go around. We went to Baruni to see those kids.
Yes.
Man, like, it's so special, you know, because, like, Port Moresby is not like the rest of the PNG. And then you go past the edge of Port Moresby, you start seeing, okay, so we're not in Port Moresby anymore. And then, like, you know, you really see a slice and one slice of PNG, not even all of it. But I think one of my favorite things is just seeing how much you are beloved by these kids. Even if they never saw you play a day in your life, they've definitely seen your face on the TV.
Oh, man, I feel like I've been adopted by PNG. You can't see me now, but I've got my one squad sunnies on. I've got my Billum from Lay. I've got my PNG Kumu singlet on. I've got thongs, slippers on. Yeah, I'm moving here to PNG, but let's get to our other co-hosts. We have two very special co-hosts today, and it's an all-PNG lineup, all-stars here, and we'll get to the first one, sports journalist here in PNG. Hello, and welcome back to Jamie Huddle.
Hi, Sam. Hi, Michael. It's great to be back on the show and my second live show, but a special one here in Papua New Guinea. I'm really, really excited to share what's happening here on the ground.
That's right. We had our live episode in Palau for the Pacific Mini Games. You did a great job there. And I have to ask you, last weekend's game, the semi-final loss, are you over it yet?
Yeah, I've finally come to terms with it. Like, you know, a loss is a loss, you know, but my team, you know, they proved that if we can accept it, then we'll come back a bit stronger in next year's season.
It only took you 4 days to get over it, but hey, you got to shorten that. You got to shorten that if you want to go to the next level, yeah?
Yeah, I just have to accept it. But I'm still on that cockerel topic, though. I hope, you know, we get to learn some, upgrade our knowledge so we can, you know, do right decisions on the field. But yeah, accepting that loss.
If the Wallabies got hard done by at the top level, it's always got to happen at grassroots level. But so far, how have I gone in PNG? You've seen me a couple of times. Do I fit in? Do I blend in well?
Yeah, somehow you just blended in so well that a lot of people are like, can Sam stay a bit longer here? I just want to spend more time with him. But it's really exciting to see how you're blending in well with the people. And, you know, you have a lot of fans here, fan base. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everywhere you go, everyone knows who Sam Wykes is. So it's good to see you and have you here in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea.
Also,
big blah, thank you, true. Big blah.
I was just saying, yeah, no, this guy's been working hard to learn pidgin as well.
I have been.
And you're hopping in the bus, you're going,
Yumigo. May someone get the pin, pop my head. It's not the Sam Wykes show, it's fresh off the field. But let's get to our other co-host. It's great to finally have her live, and I believe she's done the first episode, the 50th episode, and now the 100th episode. It is Patricia Kiamo. It is great to have you.
Hello, hello. I am so excited to do this. Like Jamie, this is my second live show. Did the first one in Honiara during the Pacific Games. I'm excited to finally meet you and Michael and do this once again.
Well, it is great to have you. And you've been on Leisure Daily as well. How have you found doing Fresh Off the Field and Leisure Daily?
Yeah, sometimes, it gets a bit hectic, especially when I have Fresh Off the Field on Thursday and then Friday mornings Leisure Daily. But I love it. It's all for sport. And I love sport, so all the more fun for me.
And do you know why she does a great job as well? She's been up since 2 a.m. because her baby was keeping her awake. But still, what did she do? Got up and did some work. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Can't stay away from her. And we actually should give a massive shout-out to Bobby McCumba, who started as the host of Fresh Off the Field back in 2023. And we couldn't have done it without her for the first 60 episodes. And then I jumped in. So it is great to have everyone here with us live in PNG. We are at poolside as well. It's a beautiful view of Port Moresby. But let's get to what's coming up on the show. We're going to take you to PNG and introduce you to some of the wonderful people we've met this week, including former Palace and Orchids player Helen Abau, who's getting ready to lead her team to a grand final victory in the Capital Rugby Union Women's Competition.
I know it won't be easy for us, so we won't take the other team, whichever team that comes in our way. We won't take it lightly. We'll go hard on them.
We'll get a PNG footballer on as well.
I've made it no secret when I talk to people that my aim is to make football number one in PNG and a rugby league nation.
That was PNG couples captain Alwan Komolong, who has some big plans for the sport in PNG. And Chow and I will also run through some of our highlights from the week where we've met so many amazing people, including multi-sport para-athlete Dawna Longbutt and another para-athlete who is killing it. Who did you speak with?
Moria Maros.
Absolutely, what an amazing story. Plus, there's news galore and, of course, our usual fun and games. So, Yumigo.
Fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, on Fresh Off the Field, at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So, let's see what's floating around on the
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking and the whole country has an opinion on. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Jamie, we are going to start with you. Why are you giving me that face when I come to you straight away? Now I can see you properly. Why are you making those faces? What have you got for us?
Yeah, look. Some big news coming out for Rugby League here in Papua New Guinea. PNG NRL CEO Andrew Hill, one of the driving forces behind the introduction of PNG team to the NRL Premiership, has announced his departure to take charge of the Penrith Panthers. And Hill, who was responsible for taking World Cup matches to Port Moresby in his role as the Rugby League World Cup 2017 CEO, spent more than 3 years overseeing the successful bid for PNG team to join the NRL in 2028. However, he will not be in charge when the team runs out for its first match at the National Football Stadium after announcing his resignation just yesterday, which is Wednesday. The former Bulldog CEO will instead take on a role closer to home after agreeing to succeed long-serving Panthers Group Chief Executive Brian Fletcher, who is retiring at the end of this year. It's a big blow for Papua New Guinea right now, but Hill will commence his new role at the Panthers Group as of early November and will oversee Panthers Group extensive league club programs, including venues in Penrith, Port Macquarie, Bathurst, North Richmond and Glenbrook, as well as Western Sydney Conference Centre and Pullman, Sydney, Penrith. Now, Panthers Rugby League CEO Matt Cameron, who has a close relationship with Hill, will continue to lead the Rugby League program, with Hill providing support to ensure its sustained success. Hill's career includes senior executive roles at the Parramatta Eels, GSW Giants, and the NRL. And, it's a long way for him coming this far. We wish Andrew Hill the best in his career ahead.
And before we get to Patricia Chow, the name, what are you thinking here?
Oh, man, it's hard.
What should the new NRL team be called here in PNG?
Man, you got to find the most neutral name ever. As boring as that might be, it's got to be neutral, because how do you please everyone in this country? You cannot.
Yep.
It's impossible. Even like,
I know Hunters seems like a boring choice because it's the same as the QRL team, but I think it's the safest because we already have the branding.
The players want it to be. Yeah, a couple of the players, you know, they were saying a lot of the players want it to be the Hunters. So.
And also, it's in English, so like it's not like you're picking like a talk place from someone else, and it's just like, you know, like me, if I was biased, I'd call them the Chaukas because that's our national bird in Manus. But we're not going to do that because I don't want a war.
So you're happy with the Hunters?
Yeah, no, it's easy, and it just seems like the right thing.
Okay, Jamie, what are you thinking for the name?
Yeah, look, I'll agree with Michael on that. Hunters has been that team has been around in the QRL Cup for so long that, you know, we can have a team named Hunters as well at the NRL level, like how we have the other NRL teams having that feeder club but with the same name. So it's, you know,
makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
Trisha, you?
Yeah, no, I agree with both of them. Let's stick. Hunters is working, you know. Why change something that's already working?
Well, there you have it. Fresh off the field. We've named it, and it's probably going to happen now because everyone listens to our show. But let's get to you now, Patricia. What else is happening here in Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, so another big news dropped just yesterday. So the sport of Taekwondo in Papua New Guinea is once again in the spotlight, but not for the right reasons, unfortunately. So a leadership battle ignited over the weekend where a special general meeting was held on Sunday. And they voted the sitting president, John Cholai, and installed former Pacific Games gold medalist Ian Sahoto as the interim president. Now, this move was led by the former secretary, former general secretary for the federation, Edward Kassman. He's also a former national representative, and Edward argued that this change was needed to avoid PNG Taekwondo's suspension from both the PNG Olympic Committee and the World Taekwondo Federation. So they were trying to avoid something similar that happened with PNG Rugby Union. However, the special general meeting they held was argued by the president that was unseated, John Cholai, that it was unconstitutional given that Edward Kassman, the former secretary, he is no longer the general secretary. So by their constitution, only the sitting general secretary has the power to call a special general meeting, which Edward does not have. So a lot of power struggles there at the management level. But right now, as it stands, the athletes are the ones who are suffering. A lot of accusations on financial discrepancies have been brought up as well with this change, and the PNG Olympic Committee have been asked to step in to take charge of the federation until they get their house in order. But the Taekwondo community here in PNG, they are divided, especially the ones in Port Moresby, because athletes are preparing for the World Championships that's scheduled for October in China. And while, you know, both factions of the administration agree that the championships, what's important, preparing athletes are important and all that, the power struggle continues. So the PNG Olympic Committee is expected to make a statement on where they stand to get the federation in order.
Man, hopefully they get their house in order, because if you're bringing that many gold medals home, I think, it's very important that they keep those pathways and all everything happening for Taekwondo. But as always, thank you, everyone, for filling us in on what's floating around on the coconut wireless. And now we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to play Gyam and Stapwe.
Gyam and Stapwe.
Chad, this is going to be your first time playing Gyam and Stapwe, and you've been fluent in Tokpisin.
I thought you would say I was fluent in Gyaman.
Gyaman.
I'm not a liar. I tell the truth. Okay?
Well, this is your first time playing. I'm going to get you to explain to our listeners from across the Pacific what Gyaman Stapwe is.
All right. So, look, basically, each co-host is going to tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true. One will be a lie. The other two co-hosts will try to, you know, find out Gyaman Stapwe. All right.
Jamie's no good at this. Can't lie.
But also, you're
looking,
lie.
Looking Jamie right in the face. You can find out if Jamie has a good poker face as well.
Do my sunglasses just to cover your eyes. All right, we are going to start with you, Jamie. And if you do hear some noise in the background, we are at poolside overlooking the beautiful city of Port Moresby. A bit of noise in the background. The kids will be jumping in the pool as well, so they'll be making a fair bit of noise probably in the next 10 minutes as they get excited.
Anytime now.
And the pool needs to be cleaned from that machine in the background. But Jamie, we are going to start with you. What are your three things?
All right. So to be honest, I didn't come prepared, so I'm just going to say something.
That's not what I want to hear.
My mind, naturally. So my gammon stop where lies, I played over the weekend, I played number eight instead of flanker. That's the first one. The second one, I had a traffic problem coming to meet you guys here this morning. And the third one, I played touch footy on Sunday after the game of Rugby Union at Baba Park. Which one is the lie?
Okay, okay. Not bad for not being prepared. Not bad, not bad. The lie. All right, Patricia, what are you thinking here?
I think the first one is the lie.
Yeah, you're definitely not a number eight. That's what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah. I'm waiting for you guys to...
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to check your poker face here. That's all.
We know the traffic is a big issue here in Port Moresby, so that's, you know, that's got to be true.
That's true. Yeah, I agree. And you were late. just
putting it out there.
Just putting it out
on the record.
You were late.
Yeah, it's got to be the first one.
Yeah, I'm going the first one. You're not a number eight.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, that's very well. I guess you guys got that wrong. I did play as a number eight over the weekend.
That's why you lost.
No, I'm joking.
Nah, they couldn't get over the advantage line. They needed their number eight.
We had to use the... We had a lot of young flankers, so I had to switch from flanker to play number eight over the weekend. But I think the lie was... touch footy. I was salty after the loss on Sunday, and I skipped touch football, so that was the lie. I didn't play on Sunday.
I should have picked that. We should have picked that you were that angry. If you played touch footy the day after...
I thought that wasn't a lie, because she plays touch footy, so...
I know, because you were injured the last time, weren't you? And you weren't supposed to play anything, and you still played touch footy.
Yeah, I still played touch
footy. Got him.
Well, there you have it. You got us. Well done. That's one the first point. Time you've... actually won on this show. Perfect. Hopefully we can transfer that to the footy field next year. But let's get to you. I've been a bit harsh today. I've been harsh. Coming from someone that never won anything. So let's move on to you now, Patricia.
Okay, so three things about me. I have 9 siblings. I'm turning 26 tomorrow. And I'm allergic to mushrooms.
This is kind of bad, because now you're going to put us in a spot where we don't know your birthday, and then we're going to look bad. That is your birthday.
I'm smiling because I think I have a fair idea about it.
Okay, wait.
Instead of birthdays, one of my first, how many Christmases have you had?
Yeah. I'm not going to give it away.
Apparently, that's how you ask for your age.
You learned how to say it. How much Christmas blow you?
It's like how much many, Christmas blow you?
How many Christmases do you own? It's how you ask someone how old they are in this
5 days
in PNG.
Let me live here. I'll be fluent like you, Chow. What do you think? I'm going to go to you first.
Oh, man. Look, okay. The mushrooms allergy is kind of interesting. And it could be one of those things where it's too specific of a thing, but maybe the specificity says that it's true. I think she might be allergic to mushrooms.
You're saying mushrooms.
So, no. Yeah, so that's true.
Okay.
But the thing is...
Oh, you said it's true. Gotcha.
Yeah. I think... What was the first one again?
I have nine siblings.
Nine siblings. See, that's the thing that, like... That's very possible. Because I've got some really big... My mum's siblings, there's 7 of them.
Well, we are in the Pacific Islands. PNG, Tonga, Samoa. It doesn't matter.
So
it could be 100 of them.
It could be a big Kiamo clan, is what I'm saying. So that could be true.
What are you saying here?
Oh, now I'm doubting the mushroom thing.
Time is ticking away. Lock it in.
Okay. Mushrooms the lie.
Mushrooms the lie. Jamie, you had an inkling that you knew this, the answer here?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to go first.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay. Don't look at me like that while you're drinking your coffee. Trying to make yourself look younger as you do that. Are you 26? This is a tough one. This is one of the hardest ones we've had.
You're all very plausible.
Well, I'm going to go 26. You're not turning 26 tomorrow. Jamie?
Tomorrow is her birthday.
Tomorrow is her birthday.
It is her birthday, or today, probably today or tomorrow. But
you're
I'm just
going
to go with the 9 siblings. She doesn't have 9 siblings. Patricia, which one is the lie?
Michael, ding, 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 you got it.
Hey.
I'm not allergic to mushrooms.
There you have it, Michael.
So I'm turning 26 tomorrow, and I have 9 siblings.
Really?
Yes, and I'm the eldest of them.
And your friend here didn't know any of that?
And to think we've been friends since 2015.
Oh my goodness. So the last 10 years, you have not known that she's had at least 9 siblings. That's
usually... Because I only know probably one or two of her siblings, and I thought there were probably 4 or 5 of them. But this is the first time I've had 9, to be honest.
Oh, there you have it, Chow. Well done,
happy birthday for tomorrow.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And we're going to get to you, my friend, on debut.
Yeah, okay. I tried to keep it sports related.
Did you type it down?
This is my first time on a sports show, so.
Did you come prepared as well?
Yeah, look, when you told me, when we found out I had to do one of these, I had to whip them up.
That was about 10 minutes ago as well.
All right. I was a ball boy for the Kumuls during their 2007 test match against Australia. I posed as a fake country competing at the 2018 Korean Winter Olympics. I watched a netball game with the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands. I just sat right next to him and watched that game.
Okay, who wants to go first out of you two?
Yeah, I think I'll take that.
Oh, yeah, confidence, love it.
I think the second one is the lie. Probably you were a ball boy for the Kumuls. I can believe that. And I think you watched a netball match with the Cook Islands Prime Minister, so I'm going with the second one.
Okay.
Don't ruin my confidence.
There we go. That was nice and sharp with that answer. Jamie?
Yeah, look, as soon as Michael started talking about the second point, I quickly knew that, like, what if that's the lie there? So I'm going with Patricia on this one, and I'm going to pick the second one.
You don't think I could have been a fake country at the Winter Olympics?
Nope.
Oh, just no. Just
no. Where's the faith? I'm just going to add
Where's the faith in me?
Well, I know
I'm
you...
just going to add the confidence.
I know you sat next to the Cook Island Prime Minister, but you actually didn't know.
I didn't know he was the Prime Minister.
He was the Prime Minister.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know this. You know.
So I do know that story. How old are you?
I can't do that. That's going
to
make
me... No, I'm going to go 2017. You're too old to be a ball boy. You're going to be like 9 or something.
It was 2007.
Oh, I think you said 2017.
Nah, 2007.
As you can see, I don't listen.
Fun fact, that was the first time that the PNG team drew with an Australian team. Only time that's ever happened. We've always gotten destroyed, okay. Otherwise.
No, I'm still going there because you're not that much younger than me. 2007, I was 19. But if you're a ball boy at that age, you have issues.
This is supposed to go to the... Hey, this is the land of the unexpected. Anything happens here, Sam.
I know your height might give it away still. I'm going to go ball boy. No way you were the ball boy.
You think that's the lie?
I think that's the lie.
Sam's actually got it.
Yeah,
that's not true.
Because ball boys are like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I was definitely a teenager by then in high school. I could not be a ball boy, although I would have been the height for it. You're right.
Yeah.
Way to ruin my confidence.
I did sit down with the Prime Minister of the Cook Islands at the Pacific Games and accidentally spoke to him. Like, I didn't realize he was
the best
head of
to
state.
Be.
But yeah, no, I actually did pose as a fake country at the 2018 Winter Olympics. I had a fake country uniform. I probably shouldn't say too much of all the things I did while I was there, but yeah, people thought I was an athlete competing.
From which country did you say?
This is a deep cut of... We called it Rigistan.
Rigistan.
One of the guys I was traveling with, his nickname was Rig. His best friend was Gus. And then I was like, if only my name was Stan, then we could... Anyway, so we were Rigistan.
Rigistan.
And we had a... Anyone who knows Australian animals, there's an ibis thing, a bird called
ibis.
Yes,
the bin chicken.
Our emblem was an ibis. We had an upside... Well, it wasn't the Olympic logo because, you know, there's copyright there. So we had a fake version of the logo. People didn't look close enough. And they were like, oh, okay, Rigistan. Okay, cool.
And it worked.
It worked. And I'm telling you, we did it from the airport. And that's as much as I'll say because I don't want to get in trouble.
You
in
can't get
ways.
In trouble here. No way.
They'll never find me.
They won't find you.
Yeah, so a lot of athletes, we hung out with a lot of athletes. They just assumed that we were there to compete as well. So,
in
yeah.
What sport were you saying you were participating in?
We didn't. No further questions. So, the fake story is the real story.
Oh, my goodness. Ciao.
Don't look it up. There's videos on YouTube.
All right, so there you go. Rigistan, I'll be looking that up straight after the show. That's impressive, my friend. And we learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
All right, it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. Real sports, not fake ones, Chow. And we're going to start with you, Jamie. What's grabbed your attention from across the Pacific?
Yeah, as of this morning, the Fiji rugby has confirmed one of its veterans, 15th veteran, Fijian Arap, Elisa Pesi Delaiwal will miss out the remainder of the Rugby World Cup currently happening in England after sustaining a hand injury during the opening match against Canada over the weekend. Delaiwal, who was forced off during the first half of the clash, has been ruled out of the tournament and will return home to begin her rehabilitation. Her place in the squad will be taken by Rebecca Mata, who is set to join the Fijiana camp in England in the coming days. Head coach Ioan Cunningham said the loss of Delaiwal is a major blow to the side, especially when they take on Scotland this Saturday. And, you know, despite this loss, it's very disappointing for the current Fijiana rep. But she continues to support the team from the sidelines. And Fijiana also looking to regroup as they continue to continue their campaign after that heavy loss against Canada over the weekend. You know, one thing that is currently surfacing on social media is the hate comments that a lot of people have been giving towards the team after that heavy loss. And it is very sad to see that not everyone is a big fan of the women's sport. Also, similar sentiments for the Manusina side, copping that heavy 73-0 loss against Australia as well over the weekend. So, not a great start for our Pacific women's Pacific teams currently are competing in the Rugby World Cup, but we hope to see some progressive results, especially this weekend onwards. Fiji will be taking on Scotland, and Samoa expected to take on the giants of this competition, which is England and Rose. So, you know, big task ahead for our women, but we're hoping for the best. And yeah, they're currently the pride of the Pacific, so go Fiji and Samoa.
Yeah, it is disappointing to hear those comments around the performances. Yes, it's not the best result, but those ladies are absolutely doing themselves, their families and their country very proud being over. There's record crowds over at England at the moment, packed house. There's going to be so many wonderful stories that will come out of that tournament, and we are looking forward to seeing how they go in their next games. But Patricia, how about you? What have you got for us?
Yeah, so this week I have been following the OFC Under 16 Men's Championship that's underway in Honiara, Solomon Islands. So after the group stage, yesterday we saw the semi-final. The first semi-final between New Caledonia and Fiji ended in favour of New Caledonia. After a 1-1 draw, at the end of extra time, they went into penalty shootout, and New Caledonia beat Fiji 5-4 to qualify for the championship finals. And in the second semi-final, unfortunately for Papua New Guinea, they went down to New Zealand. New Zealand beat them 2-0 to qualify for the finals. Now, this tournament also serve as the qualifier for the FIFA Under-17 World Cup. So New Zealand and New Caledonia have qualified for the FIFA Under-17 World Cup after winning their respective semifinals yesterday. The finals of the championship will be played on Saturday, and luckily for Papua New Guinea and Fiji, there's still one more spot to go to the Under-17 World Cup. So Fiji and PNG will play in the third and fourth playoff before the grand final on Saturday. So whoever wins that match books the third and final spot to go to Qatar next year for the Under-17 World Cup. So it's an interesting time. We'll wait to see on Saturday how PNG and Fiji go up against each other. New Zealand and New Caledonia are already comfortable. They've booked their spot to the big dance already. So it's up to the two Melanesian rivals. You know, Fiji and Papua New Guinea have always had that rivalry in rugby, in football. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because Fiji beat PNG in the last group stage. So PNG will be out to get some revenge for that. And with a bid to the World Cup, you know, on the line, yeah, it's going to be a huge matchup between the two countries.
There is a lot on the line for that game. Pretty sure I know who you're going to go for, but give me a score prediction.
Yeah, 2-0 PNG for the win.
2-0.
Let's go.
There we go.
Interestingly, this is the first time Oceania region will be represented by three countries at any FIFA World Cup level. Usually, it's just one sport, and it's always New Zealand. To my dismay.
Get out of Oceania, New Zealand.
Yeah, so now we've got New Caledonia already. So I'm rooting for one of our Melanesian teams to go, preferably PNG. So Let's see how this goes.
No matter what, we're winning. How good's that? Mm-hmm. Patricia, Jamie, as always, thank you so much for filling us in on all the sport that's taking place throughout our Pacific Islands. Great stuff.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
It's time to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, and specifically today for our 100th episode here in Papua New Guinea. We're going to go to you, Jamie. We're going to start with you. Who did you chat with this week?
Yeah, I had the opportunity to speak to former Papua New Guinea Palais Rugby Sevens and the Rugby League or PNG All Kids player Helena Bao on her journey as the captain for the Juggernauts Rugby Union women's team, and the experience she has used to lead her team to book the first grand final spot in the Capital Rugby Union competition, women's competition.
I coming back from last year's semi-finals round. We lost. It was a bit disappointed. So this year we had to get her up again and go hard, telling all the girls to go hard, to put our heads together and go for this year's cup winner for the CRU season. So the round during the tournament, the first round was a bit tough for us. Nothing was gonna be easy. Round one and round two was tough. Leading into round two was a bit tougher as the teams were getting more tougher. But then we had to work on our defense. We had to work hard to get up to the spot that we were fighting for. And we are now in the standing by grand final.
Awesome. Now, again, congratulations on making the grand final. How was the emotion like as soon as the final siren went, especially going up against one of the toughest team, Novets, here at the CRU competition?
I cannot say, like, the feeling that I went through. I was overexcited because we had struggled a long way, and from being defeated last year and coming back again hard this year. I was so excited, and thanks to my teammates, we all had to work hard towards this game.
Now, you mentioned that you're one of the regulars in the finals, but last year was the toughest for you, losing in the semifinals. So now this year, you guys had a long journey, and you finally booked the first grand final spot. What's next for you now? You have a week break, but you'll be back in training to prep for the finals. What's the plan now?
Going back again, we need to work harder on our defense. We need to work again on communication. We get again to look forward to the finals, for the finals. I know it won't be easy for us, so we won't take the other team, whichever team that comes in our way, we won't take it lightly. We'll go hard on them. Yeah.
Lastly, is there any message you'd like to give to your supporters, your families, friends, or sponsors who've made this journey really easy for you, or they've been supportive throughout the season?
Firstly, I would like to thank the Lord, good Lord, for guiding us all throughout the year, keeping us safe coming through the year, and our major sponsor, Kemke, Juggernauts, the Kemke sponsor. And a special one to Michael Wari, who is the CRU Women's sponsor. And thank you to all our families and friends, and whoever that our supporter is. We thank all of them for supporting us. And thank you to my girls as well for making it this far. And we go hard on the finals. Thank you. Go Jaga!
Awesome work, Jamie. Great interview. And Patricia, who did you catch up with this week?
Yeah, so this week I spoke to the Papua New Guinea couples captain. So the couples is a national men's football team. I spoke to their captain, Alwin Komolong, on his recent FIFA Players Development Program that took him to Brazil, New York, and LA. And I asked him about how he was selected for this program.
It was quite a satisfying feeling. I mean, I applied. I thought I did have a strong profile to fit it, but you know, you're up against other big profiles as well. But to be selected, it was a feeling of finally, you know, like FIFA is paying attention not just to PNG but to the region really, because that's somewhere where FIFA hasn't really paid too much attention yet.
What motivated you or inspired you to be a part of that program?
A lot of things. I mean, I could write a story book on what my motivations were, but I guess definitely the challenges we face here as a player, and as a player and in the executive space as well. I think we face a lot of challenges. From quality to capacity is a major thing, and I'm just being connected in a global world because it is a global sport. We need to be keeping up with the rest of the world. Right now we're trying to, but we're not quite getting there, and I think that motivated me to increase the capacity and quality here. And I mean, me and probably David Brown are probably the only players that have played professionally in Europe as well. So I mean, we've got that experience and understanding of what the environment is like, and it's hard to convey that in an environment where people haven't really experienced it, because it's hard to understand. So trying to bridge that gap is a big motivation for me, and setting standards is one of the most important things in performance football and performance sport. So being able to get into that executive space and find the support to really drive it down into our youth and senior teams or national teams and the league are very important things to have, and you can only do that by operating in that space.
And through this executive program, you've mixed around with participants from other confederations, and I believe you've seen some of the gaps that we have here, not just in PNG but in the region as well.
Yeah.
What are some things that you'd like to point out that you picked up from there?
You know, it's everywhere. There are gaps in every department that we can work on. I mean, it doesn't take much. I think the gaps are in people, capacity. Capacity is a big problem we have. Professionals in the region that can really accelerate that. Driving the popularity of the sport, I think there's a massive opportunity there that we can capitalize on. I mean, I've made it no secret when I talk to people that my aim is to, you know, make football number one in PNG, in a rugby league nation. I mean, you can already see New Zealand, who 10 years ago you would have said they're a rugby nation, but today if you go to a stadium in New Zealand, it's football is massive. I mean, they're getting almost 20,000-30,000 people at a Auckland FC game, so it really goes to show what can be done, and that's something we can do here. But again, it's about having the right people and networking and a range of factors, but nothing can stop us from doing it. And I think the big thing, what they tell us on the program, is to dream big and achieve what you want to achieve. So, and through their support, I think it can be done, yeah.
But what you are equipped now after the program, what would you like to do, or the plans for the future to use that to change football, not just at PNG, but in the region as well?
I mean, I've definitely got plans. I mean, currently I'm just sort of trying to soak everything in and be a part of the journey. And if people want help in a certain sense, that's where I can help. If they need advice in that respect, I mean, so I'm just on an educational journey at the moment. Obviously, people have noticed that I'm not really playing at the moment, which is a conscious choice because of everything going on. I feel these opportunities that have come up with education I prioritize them, and I still have plans to play, because I think being a player as well, you're on TV, your kids see you, they look up to you, and that's, you can also spread a message there. And that's, I think players are the biggest ambassadors of the sport and the biggest ambassadors to community change. You know, you develop good role models and kids look up to that. I mean, I just have myself to look at. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to look up at players at Sorbo and Unitec when growing up and thinking, like, I want to be like that guy, I want to play like him. But along that, not just the footballing side, but also teaching them life skills and how to be a good citizen, I think are very important. And I think there's enough examples in the footballing space that can promote that from the player side, not just in the men's, but in the women's teams as well. So put it this way, I've got a lot of ideas and plans. Just when I implement that is something that I'm still getting to, and how I go about it. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of people and meetings to have and talk about, but I've definitely got a lot of big ideas, small ideas as well, stuff that have small things that have a big impact or bigger footprint. And I'm excited for what the future will hold.
Nice work. And as we've said, myself and Chow have been here in Papua New Guinea for the week, speaking to plenty of amazing and inspiring people in sport throughout Papua New Guinea with That Pacific Sports Show's TV show that myself and Tiana Penatani host. And Chow, which one of Which one of those chats that stands out for you there?
Look, there's a tough choice, but I think one was, and partially because of the setting, being in Sir John Guy's Stadium for this. I've never been there. Always seen it on TV.
Oh, really?
But first time being there, and realized that as we walked out. I was like, oh, history has been made here. Not for me, but for everyone else who's walked through. And it was Moria Maros, para-athlete for PNG. And of course, for me, like, I reason it was a big highlight is because I remember seeing the news about him being flag bearer at the Paralympics in Tokyo. That was his debut Olympics, and he got to be a flag bearer. And I was just like, man, that's something special. And yeah, meeting the young man himself, too good.
Yeah, and I want to flash back to Tokyo 2020, that moment when you got called up to be the flag bearer for Team PNG. What was that like?
It was great that they gave me that opportunity, and it was quite a bit emotional of me. So I had a chat with my brother, so it's going to be a great emotional that I'm going to be the flag bearer for Paralympic in Japan, and I was looking forward. Quite carrying that flag was quite emotion, and I feel that flag was quite heavier than. Yeah.
Look, that was an incredible thing, you know, no doubt. But you know, the road to get there, you know, like, how did you first get into para-athletic training and all that?
Yes, PNG Sports Foundation. They have a talent identification. They have a program which PNG I Performance run this, and I took part in the program, and that's where they did it, identify young athletes.
Mm-hmm. Living with disability in a place like Papua New Guinea, lots of challenges, you know, day to day.
Yes, yep, a lot of challenges. First, I don't come out to the city. I only stay at my village and go to school and back home, but through sports, gave me the confidence to come out and to travel on my own and be independent and got that confidence to speak to other people as well, yeah. Got that courage, yeah.
And more recently, you got to go to Palau to compete at the Mini Pacific Games. Is that your first time in Palau?
First time, yes.
Mm, how did you find it?
Find it good. Quite a bit challenging walking down to the stadium and dining hall, but I got used to it, so it was quite all right.
But you know, we're here in Port Moresby, you know, getting to celebrate Papua New Guinea's 50th year of independence. You know, you as a proud Papua New Guinean representing our colours out there internationally, what does 50 years of PNG independence mean to you?
It's been a lot. It's been a great that I represent my country, and I am proud to be in Papua New Guinea, and I am proud to wear this colour to go represent my country at the other countries. And as I stand on the podium, it means a lot of, it means a great, gives me courage and unity to my country.
Mm-hmm. And you know, for any other younger, you know, para-athletic hopefuls who, you know, inspired by you and the work you do and, you know, your own teammates, what are the pathways like for them, you know, to get into, hopefully represent PNG like the way you do?
You have to be confident, and you have to be not rely from others, you have to be independent, and if what you want to try something, you have to never give up on what you are doing. You have to, if you do something mistake, you always, you know, keep on going despite any other challenges, but you have to keep on going.
And you compete across, you know, multiple sports. What are the events that you compete in?
My main event is shot put and javelin, but just recently my coach told me to try 100 meter wheelchair race. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Palau recently.
What was that like?
I wouldn't like it, but my coach said to just go and have fun and just, yeah. So when we had a little training, and then from the small trainings, I got quite bit confident, but still nervous. But I feel like I want to get it over and concentrate on my main event the next day. So that night as we race, I know I was at the back, but I was keep on pushing until I tried my best to come to the finish line.
First time doing it, you think you're going to do it again at the next one?
Yes, I feel I can do it again. I'll go back home and practice more again.
And obviously, like, doing what you do, it opens that opportunity where you get to travel the world.
Yes,
you know? That's
yes.
Pretty special.
Yes.
It's, like, what does all that mean to you?
Yes, sports are very special to me. It gave me the opportunity to travel, to see other countries and get to see other places and new feeling, new environment, great experience that we have in other countries.
Can I ask about family? You know, when you first went to your first Paralympics, how did your family react?
Oh, my family were so excited, so happy. They were always supportive. We had a big gathering at home to do a farewell for a releasing to go for the games. We had a small gathering with all the family members and the village elderly people, and it was so great that, you know, I have been released well with my family. They released me well to go and represent my country.
That's pretty special.
I feel special. I feel honored.
Yeah. I'm going to ask, you know, celebrating a big family get-together like that, what kind of kaya you love to make?
Yeah, we did some, you know, local food and some roasted pig or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how you celebrate, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about 50 years of independence and, you know, what that means to you. But thinking ahead, looking in the future, the next 50 years for the country, what are your hopes for Papua New Guinea?
I would say we hope that our para sports in Papua New Guinea will try to extend more, and, you know, we'll show that our whole country, the nation, will know that there is a sport in para sports in Papua New Guinea that always taking part in international events, so it will be recognized in Papua New Guinea as well.
And going along those lines, what do you want to see more, you know, within the para-athletic space here in PNG, in terms of, like, support and things like that? What do you hope for the sport?
Like, support mostly maybe leading up to the international events or any upcoming events, that we, our small group, need more support in the areas, our athletes and our team managers and coaches. We need to prepare our athletes before the competition. So we need to support that, you know, every daily living, that we travel and meals and any other.
And now that we've celebrated PNG's 50th, what's next for you, bro?
Just looking forward for maybe to celebrate the 50th. I hope that our para sports in Papua New Guinea will go more ahead than whatever we do now.
And thinking of the young ones, the next generation again, you know, what sort of message do you want to send to them right now?
We have more upcoming para athletes, but I believe that they will see us as a role model, and I believe that they will take it to the next level, whatever we do. But as they take it, as they come and take over, I believe that they will take it to the next level. That some things that we haven't gone, I think they will do it better.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
All right, it's near the end of the show and it's quiz time. Are we ready? Chow, this is your first time playing Fresh Off the Dome, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm terrified.
Terrified? Well, let's get into Fresh Off the Dome.
Fresh Off the Dome.
Yeah, for those who are new to this game, including Chow, every week I'll ask three questions. Patricia, Jamie and Chow, they'll use their name as their buzzer if they think they know the answer. And of course, you can play along at home too. Are we ready to go? Check your buzzers.
Jamie. Patricia.
Jamie, can you do that again? Give me some energy.
Oh, Jamie.
Jamie, there we go. Patricia.
Patricia. Let's go.
Michael Chow.
Michael Chow. There it is.
I'm going to use the
All right. We need some energy here. I'm going to go question number one. We have three questions, yeah? Multiple choice. Question number one. Cricket Fiji CEO Sitiveni Roko confirmed that the national women's team will play two international matches next week in preparation for the tournament starting September 9th. Who will they play in both games against? Who will they play? Papua New Guinea, B, Japan, or C, Samoa?
Jamie.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go with the first choice, since I said, call my name first.
Yeah.
Papua New Guinea.
Okay, Papua New Guinea. We'll move on.
Mark Chow. I think, you know, I'm going to go Papua New Guinea.
You're going to go Papua New Guinea?
Yeah.
Well, you're both wrong. Anyway, now you know it's down to two. It's down to two now, Patricia. I want you to win, so I don't want those two to win.
I'm going to go with Samoa.
You're going with Samoa?
Yeah, it's a wild guess.
Wild guess. All those wild guesses. all wrong. It's Japan.
Wow.
The games will be played before the official ICC East Asia Pacific World Cup qualifier tournament, which starts on September 9th at Albert Park in Suva. Shout out to our co-host, Melissa Fardé, who will also compete for the Nivan team. But it was Japan. That was the answer.
Well, they were big on baseball. I didn't know they were into cricket.
I had no idea as well. That's why I was like, huge. When I was reading, okay. I was like, I can't be multiple choice in Japan being the answer. But there you have it. So no points for that one. Let's go to question number two. Is this one multiple choice? Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like it. Just to confirm, what Pacific Island country will be represented for the first time ever in history at the ISA World Surfing Games next month? Is it A, Solomon Islands, B, Fiji, or C, Vanuatu?
C. Sorry, Jamie.
C, you may go.
Yeah, C, and the answer is Jamie.
I was going to go with, you know, I said A in the previous question, so this time I'm confident that it's A, Solomon Islands.
You should have stuck with C. Oh, jokes, I'm giving the answer away. Patricia, go.
I'm going to go with B, Fiji. Again, it's a wild guess.
It is a wild guess, and I gave you the answer just before. Ciao, please. Ciao.
This is a wild stab, but it might be C. I'm kind of confident that the answer is like, I'm 101% confident. It could be C.
It is C.
Oh, we're on the board.
It is C. I just gave you the answer. It is Vanuatu. The event is in El Salvador, and three Vanuatu surfers will be competing.
And Michael's on a roll.
Look, he's on a roll.
Give me an extra point for listening.
Exactly. Oh, someone else should host this because, man, I am not being a great host here asking these questions. But is that 2-0?
It might be.
No, it's just 1-0. Oh, you don't get an extra point. Point.
Yeah. Oh, no, I thought because you were listening, you got an extra point. All right, earlier this week, this is question number three, by the way. Earlier this week, the Cook Islands held a fishing competition. That's right, fishing competition in Aitutaki, which attracted over 200 participants, including locals and tourists from Rarotonga and Auckland. Name any popular fish you might find if you are fishing in the beautiful Cook Islands.
Mokachau.
Mokachau.
Wahoo.
Ha. Oh, my man.
Oh, I got it.
Wow. Oh, first, did you have a look at my notes?
No, that's the first fish that I thought of. And I was like, that's a Polynesian-sounding fish.
There it is. That's a Polynesian-sounding fish.
It's got to be the
wahoo. Wahoo was first fish that was on the list. Can you give us something now?
Yeah, no, let's just call it a day and give it to Michael.
Yeah, call it a day. We don't want to go through the list. Yeah, let's call it that. Right, it's already called that, but there you have it. That brings us to the end of our 100th episode for this week. A big thank you to all my co-hosts. Thank you, True, to Jamie Haro.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Michael. What an absolute privilege it is to, you know, sit down and chat with you guys on this special episode. I hope you guys return to Papua New Guinea for more of this in the future.
Absolutely. We'll be back for sure. And another big thank you to our other co-host, Patricia Kiamo.
Thank you, Tomas, to Plawan Talk. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always.
It's great to have you. And to my man, Nija Daly, co-host Michael Chow. It's been an absolute pleasure, not only for Fresh Off the Field for the 100th episode, but being here with you in the motherland for a whole week.
Oh, yeah, no, big lamas through, and thank you straight to Ximikam, you know, with the crew and all that. So, you know, special, as we say in Manus, Wura.
Yumigo!
Yumigo, and as they say, as you taught me, Yumi stop lo pleso! There you have it. A big thank you to the people of Papua New Guinea for welcoming us to your country this week. And thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.
Salo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific to celebrate our resilience, revival, and deep-rooted connection.
Search for Culture Compass wherever you get your podcasts to listen.